If you want to save all suffering sentient beings, we chant that. See, those who take it seriously, those who are truly becoming, see, travelers in the Buddha Dharma, how do I save all suffering sentient beings? See, I think maybe I'm not going to tell you on that. I think I'm going to let this story unfold and you'll begin to perhaps see that what we're looking at, it's always present in samsara. And if you aren't waking up, you support samsara. See, and you don't have to wake up to be a fully enlightened being. All you have to do is to begin to work on waking up. See, come out of your head right now. Watch what you're doing in your head. See, the sixth patriarch would say, purify the mind. What does he mean? Sit and stop talking to yourself. Some of you are beginning to see this, and this is extremely subtle. See, remember, there are koans to the effect, if you can get this. See, a rose is not a rose. Can you see that? A rose is not a rose. If you can understand that, an intellectual understanding of Buddha Dharma is not Buddha Dharma. See, a conceptual understanding of practice is not practice. I understand how to count my breath, and I'm really, I can, no, that's not counting your breath. That's an understanding. And it's dualistic, and so long as it's dualistic, you actually support samsara, no matter how brilliant you are and how benign. I quote Mezumi Roshi, you will always cause some trouble. See? Ceasing movement and returning to stillness. This is complete movement. The beauty of the deep stillness. Ceasing movement and returning to stillness. This is complete movement. See, stillness. See, now you are in complete movement. You can move effortlessly. See? With many words and thoughts, you're doing it now. See, you miss what is right before you. Do you get it? And most of us, the vast majority of us, will fall back into an intellectual understanding and the comfort of torturing ourselves with a fantasy world. See, and at some point, that fantasy world has to play out. At some point, I would think, and I saw this pretty quickly, I got sick of going through the same cycle of meaningless garbage. See, and that's what's going on. See, you live with a narrative. Right now, some of you have the narrative running, picking and choosing, judging. See, and because you are so addicted to it, you think that's the norm. And you think that anything that infringes upon that, see, is somehow or another, see, this is something to be resisted. Practice imposes itself on my life. No, if you don't have a practice, your life isn't worth squat. And I will tell you, you know what your end game is? And still most of us don't believe it. Your end game is old age, sickness, and death, and time is relative. When you get there, whew, it seems like it has passed in a hurry. I'm rushing toward 83. Whew, where did that go? When you're in the midst of your drama, it sometimes seems like you have eternity. There's your relativity. See, explained in a nutshell. In 536, a layman came to Weka and said, my body has been racked by a terrible illness. I ask that you help me absolve the transgression I've committed that has caused this. See, Weka. See, Eka in the Japanese, the second patriarch, a Chinese Zen. See. And a layman came to him. See, and then we're talking now about transmission, Bodhidharma carrying it from from India to China. See, and he sat facing the wall for 9 years, and the people who don't understand, they paint pictures of him looking at a wall, and some of our people went into a cave, and they said, well, this is good. And I can believe there was power there. I'm not saying that, because he probably did sit. But let me guarantee you, he didn't sit in front of a brick wall or a rock wall for 9 years. Do you see the wall that Bodhidharma watched for nine? All it meant, see, that he was in this state, see, of amazing samadhi. See, looking into this wall. See, and the scientists played with this in an interesting way. See, I won't let myself get distracted. We'll go into holographic pictures and 2D and see who provides the third dimension here. You see? Weka said, bring to me the transgression that you've committed and I'll absolve it. Bring it to me. See, we've talked about this before. See, bring to me whatever it is. What you think is so important. Bring yesterday here and show me yesterday. See, you can't do it. See, well, my parents or my partner or somebody, they did this to me. Well, bring it here. Show it to me. Show it to me. Well, I got this picture in my head. Well, bring the picture out and show me. What is the only thing you can see? What does he say here? You miss what is right before you. And it isn't good enough to say, I understand that, because if you say that, you don't see what the Buddha looks at. You don't even see what I'm looking at. And I remember standing at a distance, standing on this side of the wall from Roshi, thinking, what is he talking about? I know he's saying something that's important that I should become aware of, but what is it? I remember once sitting at a fundraiser, see, actually having those thoughts while Roshi was talking. I know that we're looking at the same thing, but he's seeing it in a different way. See? And until you can enter into the deep stillness, you won't know what we're talking about. Say, bring to me the transgression you've committed and I'll absolve you. I'll absolve it. The layman said, I've looked for the transgression, but I can't find it. That's what we've talked here. Bring it here. Let's see it. See? Weka said, there, I've absolved your transgression. Now you should abide in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I've shown you that it's a fantasy. You're trying, where is it? Bring it out. Bring it out and show me your great sin. By the way, this patriarch that he's talking about, his becomes his successor, Roshi told me it was leprosy that he had. And this could take us in a totally different thing, because in this awakened state, the leprosy was eventually healed. Whether you believe it or not, those of you who have taken Jukai or ordained in our lineage. See, I practiced, see, with a teacher, a Zen teacher, who had accomplished siddhas, who could heal, actually saved Roshi's older brother's life. Was Roshi's older brother Kojin real? Yeah. The last time we were in Japan, Domon and I had dinner with him. I have had many wonderful evenings spent with Kojin Roshi. See, somebody said, well, I don't believe that. He believed it. He could get up out of a hospital bed where they couldn't save him. And he died when he was about 90. See? What's here? If you look for something, a miracle, you're making up crap again. See? It's non-seeking. With many words and thoughts, you miss what is right before you. The layman said, seeing you here, I know what is meant by Sangha, but I still don't know what are called Buddha and Dharma. Seeing you here, Sangha. See, and again, when the scholars start to talk about these things, people who have not escaped from the realm of samsara, they perpetuate a dualistic version of this. What is Buddha? The great Basso said, mind is Buddha. Where is the mind? Don't think. See, and don't have an intellectual understanding of those words. Don't think. Just try to be present. See? And Basso said, mind is Buddha. Mind. Whose mind? There's only your mind there. See? Now, if you see this, see, if you go back up into the words and thoughts and concepts, you don't see what's in front of you. This was Shariputra with the Shakyamuni Buddha. Why can't I see what you see? See? Because you can't enter the Buddha's concentration. That's a state of samadhi. A state of samadhi is the state of being. See? I said, well, I understand in Sangha, Sangha is what revolves around you. We sit here in Sangha. It isn't just, see, only Shakyamuni and his closest disciples or the head monk of a temple and the one. No, you're constantly the center of your Sangha. See? And if you experience it from a dualistic perspective, you always cause pain and suffering to everything around you that you claim is near and dear to you. So he said, I understand Sangha now being here with you. He said, but what are Buddha and Dharma? Weka said, mind is Buddha. Mind is Dharma. Buddha and Dharma are not two different things. Along with Sangha, they comprise the three jewels. There is no separation. See? The three treasures. The one thing you cannot do. See, if you want to achieve awakening, and don't make enlightenment, see, we've done that. Don't make that this big fantasy in your head. You are the wonder. You are the fantasy if you can wake up. See, what did the Shakyamuni Buddha say? Everything simultaneously attained the way. You can't understand that. And I've actually had people tell me, well, I know I'm not supposed to, but I kind of understand what's there. No, you don't. You have no idea what it is. See, you only know what your own experience is in this narrow band of mind, the six senses. This is all you know. And, see, the founder of the Tendai sect said the one thing that you cannot do to be awakened is to speak negatively of yourself. Those of you with jukai, those of you priests, what's the tenth grave precept? Do not speak ill of the three treasures. What are the three treasures? Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. Where do you find them? Well, let me go look. See, well, let me find a book. Go look where? There's koan that says in Zen. See, getting on your donkey to go look for your donkey. See, watch what you do in your head. See, fortunately, we're having a few people just beginning to see that. If you begin to see, you have this ongoing narration. And the researchers say, on average, 70% of the narrative is negative. And what do they say? See, the founder of the Tendai sect, you cannot speak ill of yourself and attain the way. The tenth grave precept, do not speak ill of the three treasures. You are the three treasures. I have walked you through, actually, the talk that I gave that Roshi finally gave final approval was on the precepts. I was talking to somebody about that today. See, The 10 grave precepts, that's what you are in the realm of samsara. And each one of those precepts is continuously manifesting through you. When you can move beyond that, you move into the place of practice, the three pure precepts, which means one, see, commit no evil. Committing evil means what? Don't allow this state of awareness to slip away. Don't go back in to your ruminating, egocentric, self-serving mind. That's committing evil. Commit no evil. Do good. Do good means what? See, support those kinds of activities that allow us to stay awake. It also means to do good, and you should have no doubt doing good is better than doing evil. Reduce pain and suffering. See, how do I do that? Waking up continuously. Then the final one, and I didn't agree with my teacher in the way he explained it. I explained it my way, and he approved it. Doing good reminds me, do good for others. See, children on the streets of Los Angeles go to bed hungry, frightened. See, do something good. See, I talk about putting out contributions. I don't have much, but you do something. Look at some of you. Some of you have never done anything for anybody but yourself. See, and you think that the practice will unfold. See, to wherever you can, reduce pain and suffering. And the best way to do that is to wake up. But until then, Roshi said, act as if enlightened. The layman said, today, for the first time, I realized that my transgression was not internal, was not external, it was not in between these two states. It was entirely within mind. Buddha and Dharma are not two things. See, wake up. Recognize the layman to be a great Dharma vessel. Received him as a student and shaved his head, saying, you are a great jewel. I give you the name Sengan, see, which means gem monk. In one of the translations, Sengstan, and usually that's the one that I've been more comfortable using, but Sengan, see, this is who it is. And on the 18th day of the third lunar month of that year, Sengan underwent ordination, and from that time on, his illness gradually subsided. See, what we don't understand, and that's why I brought up again Kori Roshi. See, and even there, I've heard people who actually weren't there practicing, telling and talking about Kori Roshi and what Kori Roshi said or did. They weren't even there to practice with him. And he was a real character. See, I visited his home in Japan. See, I sat sashin with Kori Roshi. And do you know what was amazing about him? See, and everyone in the, maybe the, our newest lady here doesn't know, see. He could demonstrate his skill in the hospitals and at UCLA in their labs. They did a study on him. And again, they were stunned by it. And for all of us in here, he was a layman. He had a family. See, his son came to my Shusohosen. And he demonstrated what you can do with right discipline. And the right discipline doesn't deprive you of anything. Samsara, the dualistic egocentric mind, it does deprive you. It deprives you of life. See, we live in a narrow, constricted, self-serving sense. And watch how often, see, do you really experience a sense of freedom? See, or are you pursuing? What is it that you pursue? See, ultimately, what you're going to harvest is old age, sickness, and death. You won't escape that.